Good morning, 910 here on the Mighty 690, and we are joined now by Coffeyville Tourism Director, that is Amy Dollar. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm doing good. Good morning.
Hey, good to have you on here on this interesting day water-wise. Now, we were talking earlier in South Coffeyville. Do you have water down there?
I do have water. It seemed like maybe it was a little low. Nick also said he was washing his hands in the kitchen, so it could have been that. But I did notice a slight little lower in pressure that made me ask him about it.
Yeah.
But as far as we right now, we are gold in South Coffeyville.
Yeah,
and I apologize for everyone here that doesn't have water.
Right, and I don't know enough about what water system South Coffeyville is on and that sort of thing. But yeah, here in Coffeyville itself, man, we've had some reports of low water pressure or no water pressure in some parts of town.
So, yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, we're continuing to keep an eye on that. The city's working on that. But yeah, Amy, first of all, before we begin, we want to remind people about bikes.
Coffeyville has bike share rentals, and you may wonder what a bike share rental is. It's where you go and rent a bike, and other people can rent it too. You can ride them all over town. You can lock it up. You know, you can rent it, lock it up at Terebinth, you know, as an example. Go in, have coffee, have lunch, you know, ride down, see the murals, run some errands. It is for both, for, you know, getting around and for sightseeing. We have two locations. We have one at 8th and Walnut, right across from the chamber office. There's a stand of bikes. And then we have one at the college. And so you can get to it if you park in the big parking lot on 11th Street, or you can park in the, you know, back in the little parking lot off 9th Street, and you can get to the bikes. They're super easy. You do have to have a bank account, like a card, to rent them, but it's still very easy to rent. It's safe, like, card wise too.
Okay, sure.
That's been a question we've had.
Yeah, so what is kind of it does all go by card, right?
Yes, it goes by card, and unfortunately the system that we have at this time does not use the prepaid cards. But I've had, you know, knock on wood, we've had mine hooked up to it for almost 2 years now, and I have not had any issues. So that, you know, makes me, and then I've never had an issue reported by a one-time user or a repeat user. So I feel like I'm pretty confident in saying you can use your card. So what you do is you go up to the bike share. You'll see the prompts on the sign, and it will say, you know, it'll have you scan it. And a lot of new phones now, I figured out, I feel like technologically slow sometimes, you don't have to download the QR scanner app on a newer phone. You can just use your picture,
which is
your
cool
camera. Yes,
that is great, because I don't like having to have another app to, you know, work on
and which one would work.
Yeah,
so that makes it really convenient. You just point your camera at it, and then it'll give you steps. So it's really super easy. You'll enter in the longest part is the first time you'll enter in your bank information, your information, and then you'll hold you have to have your Bluetooth on. That's very important. You just turn the Bluetooth on, super easy, and then you just hold it down by the bike as it tells you to, and it unlocks it, and then you can ride it for however long you want. So right now you can use a first time user only can use a code that says Bike Seville. So it's BIKE CVILLE. I feel like that dog food commercial you guys have on here.
DINOVITE.
But it's Bike Seville. And so a first time user can rent it for an hour for free. It's still super cheap to rent either way. But that'll give someone a new, if you have never rented one before, if you want to try them out, seats are comfortable. They got a basket in front. You can put your bag or your purse in there. And if you have something that'll hold your water bottle up in there, anyway, if you have a clip, works pretty good. I have tried to sit stuff in there pretty often. But if you want to rent one, you can try it for the first hour for free and see how cool it is. And if you forget, on Mondays today, on 104.1, Stephanie will remind you on her show.
Oh, okay.
So we have some commercials that give a little bit of details, but they are fun, and we would love to make sure the whole community knows about them and gets to use them. Right now the college is out, so not a lot of college rentals, but we would like, you know, everyone to know, hey, it's a fun time. And if you just want to ride it downtown, you can ride it, hang out, like I said, go eat lunch, go eat supper.
That's a good reminder. Maybe you got some folks, friends coming in town, that sort of thing. You're looking for something to do. Just go on a little sightseeing cruise.
Yes.
You know, because there's so much you can, you really don't get to see very well from a car. But when you're going a little slower on a bike, you get to see that. And does it charge you like per hour? How does it actually charge you?
It charges you per hour. So okay. I think it's like $1.50 an hour.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's not
and then
much.
You just return it to either the bike or station by the chamber or at campus?
Or at the campus, yes. And like I said, you can stop for dinner and you can lock it so that you're not responsible. You can leave it outside, go eat dinner. There's a way to lock the bike.
Oh,
you
cool.
know, on something or with a yeah, little yeah, lock. Yeah. So it that makes it convenient too. And like James said, I think that's a good idea. You can download the Explore Coffeeville app. And then you can take your friends or your out-of-town visitors and you can take them around, show them our great murals, show them our Death Alley, take them downtown. We have some amazing buildings. Sometimes we forget how cool Coffeeville is until you bring in someone that's never been here before. And then you get to hear their perspective and see and hear their thoughts. And, you know, we talk about how we are all used to the murals, but in other places in Kansas and all over, they don't have the beautification of having the murals we have. So we're pretty unique. Not unique, but yeah, a little more unique yeah. in having all these very nice super murals.
Well, and the fact that they're maintained too.
They are.
They're not just completely, you know, you can't read them. They have been updated and they continue to make sure they're readable.
And we just didn't start getting murals in the last couple of years, which has been trendy. I mean, we had murals before murals were trendy.
So
And we actually, I get calls from other cities asking about our murals and who painted them and what, because we are actually kind of an envy of places who want murals. So so don't take your town for granted, and if you do, just bring someone that's never been here before and they'll give you fresh eyes. It's really, really nice to, you know, we have some really unique things. And so we have some events, rent a bike, ride downtown, and then we have all these events. I know that we just had the Cedar Bluff Camp 100th anniversary.
Really great.
Thank you everyone from Cedar Bluff that camp that organized that. I know that takes a lot of work and effort. Thank you guys. I heard Gail on this morning. I heard him talking about Coffeeville Summer Celebration. That's always a super exciting, and I think it's extra super exciting because it's not on the 4th of July. Big ups to that one. I like that it's the Saturday after, so everyone can enjoy it. You may, the weekend before the 4th of July, like this year, you may have to go to your family or something. So this really frees it up to be in town and be able to enjoy. And we have people that come from all over. So don't forget to mark your calendar for that. And then Brown Mansion will have a murder mystery dinner July 28th at 6:30 p.m. Tickets will be available super soon. I need to get that taken care of. I've been slipping. A little bit further on, we'll have the Native American Unity Gathering September 30th, Dalton Days October 6th and 7th, and Brewfest on October 14th. And then I know that last year was the first year that we did it, but we had a haunted history tour, like a kind of a spooky history walking tour downtown last year that Visit Coffeeville puts on. This year, we added a date, but it will be October 13th. Which is a Friday. That's going to be the best day. That's going to be so much fun. That's going to be like, if you want your ultimate scare, Friday, October 13th.
Oh, yeah, that is.
Will be
yeah.
great. And then the 19th and the 20th. So we will have a couple of different nights that will be available. There will be more details on the Visit Coffeeville site, or you can call Amy at the chamber, and I will be able to answer those questions. And we'll be getting a little more information out about that. I am super excited because so we know Chris Crane and I have a show together, but we've already gotten some new stories to add in with our existing stories. So if you did do it last year, I'm not going to miss anything. You will still miss a whole bunch of cool stories. I just learned a couple new stories yesterday that I just cannot wait to share. So if you have done it before, please come again. And if you have not, I think it will be a unique experience. We will be in costume. We welcome our attendees to be in costume. We're going to make it a lot of fun. So, you know, Coffeeville's been here a long time. And around 1903, we had the Mecca Hotel. I believe, if I'm wrong, call and tell James during open line. I believe it's where the terminal building is.
Okay.
I think that's right around in there where the Mecca Hotel was. And in 1903, you know, we had a kind of down South Walnut. We had drinking and gambling establishments, sporting houses, and different things like that. I saw them referred to as a resort in there in the newspaper. And so you know, Charles Van and this man named Rodecker, they're hanging out and drinking and gambling. And it's like a poker deal gone bad. I'm not sure how that happened. They decided they were going to meet outside the Mecca Hotel and fight. And one shot the other, and then he instantly went and turned himself into the police. The other guy died a couple days later, and he went to he spent a couple years in Lansing in the penitentiary. And that's just like a very tip of the iceberg. Like, that was like, I was like, that's nothing compared to the other stories. But that happened. It would have been like where I think it's like it was said 10th and Walnut, so there is no 10th Street on Walnut anymore. But I think it would be like kind of behind Gigi's.
Okay.
Kind of in that where 10th Street used to be there. So I think we all know where Walnut runs straight into that kind of that big parking lot there. So I think it was just right around in that area.
Sure, sure.
There was a gambling saloon. And it's so funny to think of Coffeeville. We seem so conservative. It's funny to think of us having big drinking and gambling and sporting establishments.
Well, so many towns are like that. I mean, even, you know, heck, Abilene, Kansas is so quiet now, you know, but it used to be a pretty wild place. You know, there's all sorts of stuff going on.
It is. I went to Abilene for the first time last year.
Okay.
Went to a media event there for tourism, and it was super cool. It was on the way, I thought, so I learned about different Abilene history on the way, and then I didn't know. I'm a John Wesley Harden fan. I kind of like outlaws a little bit. I like history. I do like our outlaws in our American history. But they said he shot a man for snoring too loud in a hotel there in Abilene.
Oh, my.
And you can drive up to see it. Like, you can see where the hotel was and,
yep,
and the saloon where was it Buffalo Bill or Wild Bill Hickok hung out and different things like
yep,
that. So
yep,
it was a very, very interesting place.
Oh yeah. There used to be, I mean, I worked the radio station there in Abilene, like right where the radio station was, there used to be like saloons and all sorts of crazy stuff and, you know, gunfights and just all the usual things that go along with cowboys. And
oh yeah, that is very cool. And that is one of the things I do like about our Kansas history is the outlaw and cowboy and gunfighter and cattle trail history. That was very cool.
And so, even you get to learn a little bit about the different town layouts and what that says about the town. For instance, you have tea towns and courthouse square towns. Have you heard about the kind of the, you know, like for instance, Fredonia is a courthouse square town.
Yes.
Because you have the courthouse and you have the square around it. Whereas like Independence does not have they don't have a courthouse square. Coffeeville would be more of a tea town because you have and that would be dead ending at where the railroad is.
Okay.
So you those two different types of towns, and you can just tell that by how they are laid out and built.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So Enid, Oklahoma would be a square.
Which courthouse is a square.
Courthouse
yep,
square. That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Iola would be
Iola.
Also, yep. Iola's supposed to have like the largest downtown,
largest
square
Main Street or something like that, or
largest downtown
square.
Largest downtown square
might be. Yep.
Very cool. We should know more about that. It's like, but I think so. That's something new to learn. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I will definitely have to look more into now when I go places to see if they're courthouse towns.
Byproduct of taking about every Kansas history class you could take at K-State.
I took Oklahoma history because that's where I lived. But when my son and daughters were taking Kansas State history, I'd always make them bring their book home, especially Riley. He was my first. He's my guinea pig child.
Oh, yeah.
I made him bring it home so I could learn as much Kansas State history. Now I just learn it on my own. But
that's
yeah,
great.
I wanted to start. I was like, I don't know anything. I couldn't help them very much. I was like, can you guys just take Oklahoma history? And he's like, I live in Caney, Mom.
Right. There is so much difference. You know, I don't know a lot. You know, probably a lot more Oklahoma history than I do. But hey, on the tourism front, any unique visitors here coming to Coffeeville you got to talk with?
We have unique visitors all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a whole lot of people from Minnesota lately come in, which is super cool. I did. You know, thank you. Last week, some cousins of Don Sprague came into town, and they were cool, and I got them to stand out there by the mural and take a picture of them, and they let me share it. So thank you guys for that. I think they live in Florida now. They grew up here, but some people, you know, go other places. So that's where I think they live there now. And so that was pretty exciting. I had never really got to visit with too many people. Like, you know, that's always cool to meet people who are related to, I say, famous people. I don't know what you guys say. I mean, if you're an artist and your name's on the walls all over town, you're pretty famous, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that becomes a household name when you see it around.
So a big thank you to the Don Sprague cousins for coming in that day and letting me share that on Facebook. And we've had kids, school groups come in. We've had, trying to think of any, I mean, we have a lot of people that come from Canada.
Interesting.
We're cool.
That is fascinating.
And like I said, I think we're picking up people from, when I say Minnesota, a lot of them are going to Tulsa, to the Bob Dylan Center. So big ups to Bob Dylan for drawing us in some attractions,
okay,
some people. So they come in, you know, that's why I was like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, oh, you're from Minnesota. You guys got to go to Tulsa. They're like, yeah, that's why we're, you know, why we're here. So
that's great.
So that is very cool. We do, you know, I visit with people. Sometimes I get to visit with people more than others. I did have a Dick Broadwell's cousin, distant cousin of Dick Broadwell, that came in and visited, and that was pretty cool. You know, Dick Broadwell was one of the outlaws that we killed that day. He was from, not originally from Hutchison, but that is where I think his final resting place is. But so that was kind of interesting to meet a cousin of Dick Broadwell. And so we do, you know, when you see people from out of town, definitely visit with them. When they come here, I don't think they just lie to me because I'm the tourism director. I think they really like Coffeyville. I think they love our history. They love our downtown. I get compliments on the awnings a lot.
Sure.
We do have a very cool place.
And I think it's always, people always appreciate when someone takes the time to stop and talk to them and maybe give them a recommendation on where to eat, what to do, what else to see, because just that little friendliness, I think it goes a long way.
Yes. And sometimes I forget to tell them everything. So I can always use people to help, but we all, you know, and I do want to really quickly, before we finish, I want to give a huge shout out to Aisha and to Dinger. They are almost pivotal in my spiel I give in the music bank museum now when people come to see the old Condon Bank. They love visitors, they welcome visitors. Sometimes, you know, we'll have the time to kind of show them around. You know, a lot of people don't see old hardware stores. A lot of people are from places where nothing's old anymore. So it's very, very cool and unique to other visitors to get to see that. So I want to give a big thank you to everyone at iShims and Dinger for always, you know, I can say, hey, I got a group of kids coming. She will come out and talk to them and tell them stories. And I just appreciate that more than I think I usually tell them, because yeah, I'm like, thank you, and run off. So I wanted to make sure I have that on record on air today.
Well, I know she's listening, and I know that it is the oldest continuous operating hardware store in the state of Kansas.
Yes.
And a real American treasure, her and the store.
Very, very much, very much. So thank you guys again.
Okay. Well, Amy, I really appreciate you coming on. And real quick, we do get plug your show coming up here this next Monday.
Oh, yes. Next Monday is Fry Bread Journeys. It is going to be our second episode. It is going to be super cool. We've got some, we went someplace and it was a very, you know, there's stuff south of South Coffeyville, like that way. Like, I don't know, like a Fields. I thought that Fields in the River was over there. Maybe Chelsea's over there somewhere. But so next week, we're going to talk about all the fascinating places we went, some cool places. And I'm hoping, I smelled a super cool restaurant. I'm hoping between now and the show, I get to try it and tell you guys about it. But so there will be a lot of stuff to talk about. So yes, Fry Bread Journeys next Monday at 9:10. And like our Facebook page.
Yeah, absolutely. You're posting a lot of good stuff over there. So, alrighty, Amy Dollar, appreciate you coming on, and we will chat with you here next week.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. And we'll be back to Open Line here in moments on the Mighty 690 KGGF.